and welcome to this 48th session of the Program Advisory Committee for Particle Physics. We'd like to get started. Thank you. So maybe the first item on the agenda, I would like to welcome a new member of our committee, Luciano Musa, from CERN, and that just joined our pack, and we're looking forward to working with you in the next years. Second thing, maybe we go around so everybody reminds who we are. So maybe we start with you, Luciano, and we go around.
Yeah. So good morning, everyone. It's my great pleasure to join the GINR Program Advisory Committee. I am from CERN. I'm working on the ALICE experiment since 20 years.
My name is Edward Bose. I'm a professor from Moscow State University, Institute of Nuclear Physics. I'm working on CMS experiment and particle theory phenomenology.
I am Peter Zawada from Institute of Physics, Prague, and I am involved in a ALICE experiment, and I am also engaged in phenomenology of particle physics. Thank you.
I'm Peter Christo from CERN. I will not tell which experiment so that you don't have the impression that ALICE is the majority of the pack.
Antonio Editato, Bern, several experiments.
Yeah, good morning. I'm Nushu. I'm not in ALICE, I'm in STAR experiment and also CBM experiment. I'm from Berkeley and also Wuhan, China.
I'm Hans Gutbrot from CSI Darmstadt and the MEFI and Fair Russia Research Center in Moscow.
Laszlo Jankowski, Bogolyubov Institute for Theoretical Physics, Kiev.
Stanislav Dubnička, I am from Slovak Academy of Sciences, I'm third edition.
Boris Gikel, Chief Engineer of our Institute.
Alexander Chiplakov, the PAC Secretary, ATLAS Experiment.
I'm Richard Lednitsky, Joint Institute for Nuclear Research.
Viktor Matveev, Director of GINR.
Mikhail Itkis, Joint Institute for Nuclear Research.
Alexander Sorin, Joint Institute for Nuclear Research.
Vladimir Kikelidze, Joint Institute for Nuclear Research.
Vladimir Korenkov, Joint Institute for Nuclear Research.
Okay, thank you, everyone. So now we go according to the agenda that you all have in front of you. There will be a short presentation by myself just to remind you what we have to discuss today. Okay, so I will just remind you what we decided at our last meeting back in June 2017, and then try to bridge that with what we have to discuss today. The agenda of the outline of my presentation is here. I will remind you of the main recommendations from last time. I will report on the results from the last meeting of the Scientific Council that took place in September. I will mention a few significant developments that are taking place in the lab that are of great importance for us, and then briefly discuss our agenda. So let me start with the highlight from the last PAC PP. These are the main recommendations or conclusions of this last PAC meeting. We were very pleased with the result from the last run 54 from the Nucleotron that made very good progress and in particular succeeded in accelerating for the first time a polarized proton beam. Unfortunately, as you will see later today, run 55 was cancelled due to some machine problems, and we will hear a detailed report about the status of the Nucleotron now, and the preparations for the next run that is planned right in a couple of weeks. The other big news is that the booster construction preparations were well underway, and this is one of the major items for this year of 2018. However, concerning the booster, we express our concern about the availability of sufficient manpower for the construction, and we urge the Giant Earth management to take corrective actions. So that was with NICA. Concerning the MPD, we heard about significant advance in the construction of the magnet. We appreciate the efforts for the completions of the TDR for the different subsystems that are supposed to be on the ground for stage one. And finally, we appreciated the efforts of the management of the laboratory in trying to define the commitments and the participation of new groups from Mexico and from China. Now on BMA-10, the main issue is the lack of manpower to analyze the data already collected by BMA-10. As you know, BMA-10 is running with all the detectors installed, but with a limited configuration. They don't have the full coverage of the foreseen final detector, but they have a partial coverage, and in principle, this thing can allow to do some physics. However, the main thing that came out is that they don't have enough manpower to analyze the data, and we consider that to be a serious a problem, because this is the detector that will first have access to physics within the whole NICA project. Parallel to that, we were very pleased to hear the proposal to extend the BMA-10 physics program by a new addition of studying short-range correlations in nuclei using reverse kinematics, and that was presented by Eli Piasecki from Tel Aviv University and involved the participations of groups from MIT, GSI, and the CEA, together with the BMA-10 collaboration. And this was actually the first outside group that came here to do a research at the Nucleotron NICA facility. The DAC continues its useful work in the realization of the MPD and the BMA-10 experiments. And as you know, we had meetings in June, and we had also on the occasion of this PAC a full day working meeting with the BMA-10 and MPD teams just yesterday. So today we will hear reports about the Nucleotron, we will hear reports about NICA, BMA-10 and MPD, so we will see the what has happened for the last 6 months in all those topics. Now the Scientific Council. The last session of the Scientific Council, the 122nd, took place in September 1819, and I have here a few excerpts from their recommendations, just those parts that are relevant to our PAC or were relevant to NICA. The first thing, the Scientific Council was pleased to note the important strategic plan for GINR to achieve new scientific and technological results in 2017-2023, in particular in the process of realizing and launching the NICA-MECA project. Also, the Scientific Council appreciated the efforts undertaken by the GINR Directorate towards integrating the infrastructures of the Institute into the European scientific landscape, and in particular, the inclusion in 2017 of the NICA Accelerator Complex in the NUPEC long-range plan perspectives in nuclear physics. So that puts NICA into the European map in a prominent manner. Now, concerning the NICA project, the Scientific Council basically repeated and endorsed our recommendations. So many of the things that I said previously were reported in their final report. As you can see here, the Scientific Council took note of the good progress in the implementing the flagship project, which has been recognized as an important element of the European research infrastructure. The Scientific Council is pleased to note the successful development of the Nicola Acceleration Complex, including the recent production of polarized proton beams. The Scientific Council is satisfied with the ongoing construction of the booster, the commissioning of the electron cooling system manufactured by Butker INP at Novosibirsk, and with the progress of the civil construction of the collider building. A large amount of work is being done by the BM-ATEN and MPD collaborators to develop the detectors and their subsystems. Efforts have been undertaken to enhance these collaborations by new participants. So we're happy to see that they endorse all what we say. Now, concerning our specific recommendations, again, they will, as you see, they will repeat what I said before. They appreciate the successful run of 54 and the fact that the polarized proton beam was accelerated for the first time. The Scientific Council is very pleased with the beginning of the commissioning of the booster cooling, electron cooling, and the preparations for the booster construction. And the Scientific Council shares the PAC's concern about the availability of sufficient manpower for the efficient booster construction, and urges the GINR management to take corrective actions. The Scientific Council appreciates the progress and efforts toward defining the participation and commitments of groups from China and Mexico. The Scientific Council is very pleased with the progress towards the realization of the BM-ATEN experiment and shares the PAC's concern about the lack of manpower to analyze the data. And the Scientific Council is pleased with the proposal to extend the BM-ATEN program to include probing the short-range correlations involving groups from Tel Aviv, MIT, GSI, and CEA, together with the BM-ATEN collaboration. So all in all, as you see, it's just a copy-paste of our recommendations. This is not finished. There's still the Scientific Council appreciates the work accomplished by the Machine Advisory Committee and the Detector Advisory Committee for the MPD and BM-ATEN experiments in assisting the realization of the Nucleotronica project. The Scientific Council supports the PAC recommendations of approval of new projects and the continuation of ongoing projects in particle physics as outlined in the PAC recommendations. The Scientific Council welcomes in particular the revised proposal for GINR's participation in the COMPASS project, but also supports the PAC's request to take the necessary measure to significantly reduce the group size and the travel budget of the group participating in GINR. We will hear today what measures have been taken by COMPASS to address this recommendation. A similar concern was expressed regarding the GINR participation in the Daya Bay Juno project, and it was recommended that the team and the laboratory management reconsider whether the large manpower and the corresponding large travel budget are justified. So that much for the highlights and the scientific council report. Now to something, a couple of things that are happening or have happened in the very recent months, and there are two of them. The laboratory of high energy physics have decided to organize a 3-day meeting that will take place here on April 11 to 13 to officially launch the MPD and the BMTN international collaboration. This is something that we have been proposing and requesting for quite some time, and I'm very pleased to see that finally the laboratory has endorsed this recommendation and has taken the necessary steps to put it forward in the very near future. The second very important development is that the general management is establishing a research grant program to encourage and support research carried out in the MPD, BMATEN and SPD experiments, together also with the grants for support work for the machine itself. The grants on the average will be of the size of $50,000 per year and will be awarded for a 3-year period through a competitive process according only to the scientific merit of the submitted proposal. I think that those two measures together will put the NICA in much higher visibility in the international heavy ion community, and I believe it will contribute significantly to address the issue that we have been arguing constantly about the lack of enough groups devoted to the NICA project in terms of pushing the analysis and the preparedness for doing physics with the detectors. I will not say more about that. We will have a dedicated presentation by the lab director, the director of the Laboratory of High Energy Physics, Vladimir Kekelice, that we will hear this morning, and he will present to us more details about those two very important developments. So this is what has happened recently. Now this is the agenda of today and tomorrow. Should not read the all what is on there. You have the copy in front of you. I want just to emphasize what the highlights of the things that we will be discussing during the day. We will hear the reports from NICA, MPD, and the BMATEN. We will hear a report about the nucleotron, the problem that they faced in the fall, the repair work on the present status and the plans. We will hear, as I mentioned, from Vladimir Kekelice the details about the NICA grant program and the preparations for establishing the BMATEN and MPD collaborations. And we will be discussing three projects that have been completed and are seeking continuation. So, thank you very much. If there are any questions, I will take questions. Otherwise, we proceed with the agenda. No questions. So. Okay. So, according to the agenda, now we have the report by Vice Director Richard Lednitsky about the last session of the Scientific Council and the decision of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries that took place in November 2017. So please, Richard.
Dear members of the PAC and dear colleagues, it's already announced the subject of my talk. So about 122nd session of the Scientific Council. This session took place in Joint Institute on September 18-19 last year. The agenda of the meeting is shown on this slide, so you may see there was, as usual, a report of the director of the Institute, Viktor Matvejev. There were two progress reports about the super heavy element factory by director of the laboratory of nuclear reactions, Sergei Dmitriev, and about Project Nika by the director of laboratory of high energy physics, Vladimir Kekelidze. There were two scientific reports by professors Rustamov and Tseruya, the quest for phase transition in strongly interacting matter and probing dense matter at Nika energies with dileptons, prospects and challenges. Then there were recommendations of the PAC presented by Itzhak Tseruya, Marek Levitovich and Denis Nagy. Membership of the PACs presented by Vice Director Michal Itkis. Reports by young scientists and as recommended by the program advisory committees. Awards and prizes. And election of the director of Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics and announcement of vacancies of positions in the directorates of joint institute laboratories. Concerning general considerations, the Scientific Council took note of the comprehensive report by the director Viktor Matvejev, presenting an in-depth analysis of the role and place of joint institute in the world's fundamental nuclear physics science, and covering the decisions of the latest session of Joint Institute Committee of Plenipotentiaries in March 2017. The progress in implementing the Joint Institute scientific program in the first starting year of the new seven-year plan, and major events in the activities of Joint Institute as, and its international cooperation. The Scientific Council was pleased to know the important strategic plans for Joint Institute to achieve new scientific and technological results of high significance in in future seven-year plan from 2017 to 2023, in particular in the process of realizing and launching the Nika mega project and the factory of super heavy elements, and in expanding spectrometer complex of IBR2 reactor and the Yuzu program at this facility. The Scientific Council highly appreciated the efforts undertaken by the Directorate towards developing the Institute research infrastructure and integrating it into the European scientific landscape. It noted in particular the inclusion in 2017 the Nika accelerator complex and the super heavy element factory in the NUPEC long-range plan perspectives in nuclear physics. The Scientific Council congratulated Joint Institute on the inauguration of the names of the new super heavy elements, moscovium, tennessine, and oganesson, which were synthesized at the Fyodorov Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions, which was held in Moscow on 2nd of March 2017. The Scientific Council welcomed the signing of the new agreement on cooperation between Joint Institute and INFN, which took place in Moscow on 12th of April 2017 in the presence of the President of the Italian Republic, Mattarella. The Scientific Council emphasized the importance of the elaboration of Joint Institute's new strategic plan based on a long-term future of the Joint Institute laboratories and wish to be informed about the strategic planning process and timeline. The Scientific Council took note of the appointment of Alexander Sorin as Chief Scientific Secretary and Boris Gikal as Chief Engineer of Joint Institute. The Scientific Council thanked the predecessors Nikolai Rusakovich and Grigory Shirkov for their long-term successful work. The Scientific Council was pleased to learn of the appointment of Grigory Trubnikov, Deputy Minister of Education and Science of the Russian Federation, as plenipotentiary of the government of Russian Federation to Joint Institute, and wished him successfully worked in these two responsible positions. The Scientific Council appreciated the new brochures on Joint Institute's activities and facilities, which were recently published and distributed at the session, and encouraged further efforts to enhance the international visibility of Joint Institute science and communications. Concerning super heavy element factory, the Scientific Council took note of the report given by the director of FLOROF Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions, Sergei Dmitriev, status of the factory of super heavy elements and its future prospects. Given the high priority of the research work on the synthesis of super heavy elements and study of their properties, the Scientific Council recommended that Joint Institute and FLOROF Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions Directorates ensure the implementation of programs on the further development of the super heavy element factory. It means construction of new and upgrade of the existing physics instruments for the studies of chemical and nuclear properties of super heavy elements. Concerning the NICA project, the Scientific Council took note of the report given by the director of Wechsler-Bardeen Laboratory of High Energy Physics, Vladimir Kekelidze, progress of the NICA project. The Scientific Council noted with satisfaction the very good progress in implementing this flagship project of Joint Institute, which has been recognized as an important element of the European research infrastructure. There are several points which were pointed out and already mentioned by Itzhak, so I will skip them if you allow me. Concerning the recommendation, the Scientific Council commended the dynamic progress of the NICA project, encouraged further expansion of the international collaborations around the planned experiments, and expressed hope that the challenging work for the NICA complex would be successfully continued. In connection with Program Advisory Committee, Scientific Council took note of the recommendations made by the Program Advisory Committees at their meetings in June 2017, as reported in this session, by Itzhak Tseruya, Chairman of the Program Advisory Committee for Particle Physics, Marek Levitovic, Chairman of the Program Advisory Committee for Nuclear Physics, and Denis Nagy, member of the Program Advisory Committee for Condensed Matter Physics. The Scientific Council proposed that the Joint Institute Directorate should take these recommendations into account and in preparing the Joint Institute Topical Plan of Research and International Cooperation for this year, 2018. These recommendations are documented in detail in the PEC minutes. About membership of the PACs, as proposed by the Joint Institute Directorate, the Scientific Council appointed Denis Nagy from Hungary as Chairman of the Program Advisory Committee for Condensed Matter Physics, and Pavel Mikula from Czech Republic as a new member of this Program Advisory Committee, each for a term of 3 years. The Scientific Council also appointed Luciano Musa from CERN as a new member of the Program Advisory Committee for Particle Physics for a term of 3 years. There were reports by young scientists which were recommended by the Program Advisory Committees for presentation at this session. Investigation of exotic states in light nuclei and neurochemical alterations in central nervous system of rodents after exposure to different radiation modalities. And the Scientific Council thanked the speakers, Jan Sejto from Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics and Bielo Kopitova from Laboratory of Radiation Biology, welcoming similar reports in the future. Concerning the awards and prizes, the Scientific Council congratulated Professor Yifang Wang from China, Su Bong Kim from Korea, and Koishiro Nishikawa from Japan on the award of the Bruno Pontecorvo Prize for their outstanding contributions to the study of the neutrino oscillation phenomenon and to the measurement of the mixing angle theta 1-3 in the Dia Bay, Reno, and T2K experiments. The Scientific Council thanked them for their excellent presentations. The Scientific Council congratulated the winners of Joint Institute annual prizes for best papers in the fields of scientific research, instruments and methods, and applied research. Concerning the election and announcement of vacancies in the directorates of Jenner Laboratories, the Scientific Council elected Dmitry Kazakov as director of the Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics for a term of 5 years and thank Viktor Voronov for his successful tenure as director of this laboratory. The Scientific Council announced the vacancies of positions of deputy directors of Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics. The endorsement of appointments of the deputy directors will be held at the 123rd session of the Scientific Council in February this year. The Scientific Council announced the vacancies of positions of the director of the Gelepov Laboratory of Nuclear Problems and the director of the Florov Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions. The elections will take place at the 124th session of the Scientific Council in September this year. About the session of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries of the Joint Institute, a regular session of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries of the Governments of the Joint Institute Member States was held in Dubna on 24th-25th November 2017. It was chaired by the Plenipotentiary of the Russian Federation, Grigory Trubnikov. The agenda is shown on this slide, so there was again recommendations of the 122nd session of Joint Institute Scientific Council. Brief overview of the results of Joint Institute activities in 2017 and plans for 2018, given by the director Viktor Matveev. The draft budget of Joint Institute for the year 2018 and draft contribution of the member states for the years 2019, 2020 and 2021 was given by Sergei Dotsenko. Progress of implementing the NICA complex project and proposals for spending the special purpose funds allocated by the Russian Federation in accordance with the agreement between the government of the Russian Federation and Joint Institute from 2nd of June 2016 was presented and was given by Vladimir Kekelidze and me. Results of the meeting of Joint Institute Finance Committee held on 21st-22nd November 2017 was given by Arsen Khvedelidze, and information from the Joint Institute delegations about the meeting at the Ministry of Education and Science of Ukraine and about the workshop at the Academy of Sciences of the Republic of Uzbekistan was given by Mikhail Itkis. And results of the audit of the Joint Institute financial activities for the year 2015 was given by the auditor Korsakov. Improvement of the procurement activities was presented by me, and amendment proposed of the rules of procedure of Joint Institute Scientific Council by Scientific Secretary Alexander Sorin. Joint Institute participation in the Russian Federation targeted research program within the framework of international cooperation with institution of the People's Republic of China was given by Hamlet Khojibagian. And status of the factory of super heavy elements was presented by Sergei Dmitriev. Concerning the report of the director presented by Viktor Matveev, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries took note of the recommendations of the 122nd session of the Joint Institute Scientific Council, of the information by the Jenner Directorate on implementation of the Plan of Research and International Cooperation in 2017. This is the first starting year of the new 7-year plan for the development of Joint Institute, as well as on the priorities of Joint Institute activities for next year, this 2018. The Committee of Planning Potentiaries approved the recommendations of the 121st session and 122nd sessions of the Scientific Council, and the Joint Institute Topical Plan of Research and International Cooperation for 2018. The committee noted the importance for Joint Institute to elaborate a new strategic plan for the long-term development of Joint Institute laboratories, and request the Joint Institute Directorate to present regular information on the work in this direction. The committee took note of the initiative of the Joint Institute Directorate in the Republic of Poland about intentions to jointly establish a laboratory for structural research of macromolecules and new materials at the Solaris National Synchrotron Radiative Center at the Jagiellonian University in Krakow, Poland, and commissioned the directorate to continue this work. The committee commissioned the Joint Institute Directorate to organize an open international competition in 2018 for researchers and postgraduates to fill vacancies of positions in Joint Institute priority scientific projects. The committee recommended to the directorate organized a special proposed grant program in 2018 to stimulate the participation of scientists of the member states and other countries in the implementation of the NICA project. The committee welcomed the decision taken by the government of Russian Federation on 23rd August 2017, according to which Joint Institute has received the right to confer academic degree, and suggested that the planning potentiaries should facilitate the procedure of recognizing Joint Institute's degree diplomas in the member states. The committee accepted the proposals of the directorate to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the accession to the Institute of a group of independent states by holding a festive meeting dedicated to this event on 26 March 2018. Concerning the report, draft budget of Joint Institute for the year 2018, draft distributions of the member states for the years 2018, 2020, and 2021, presented by Sergei Docenko, Chief Accountant of Joint Institute, the Committee of Planning Potentiaries approved the budget for the year 2018, with the total expenditure amounting to $207.24 million, and the scale of contribution of the member states for this year. Approved the contributions of the member states for 2018 and the payment of contributions arrears of the member states for this year. It determined the provisional volumes of the Joint Institute budget in income and expenditure for the years 2019, 2020, and 2021, which are slightly higher than for the year 2018. As well as the provisional amounts of the member states' contributions for the years 2018, 2020, and 2021. It allowed the Joint Institute Directorate to index the salary and tariff parts of the compensation package of the staff members, taking into account the possibilities afforded by Joint Institute budget in 2018, in accordance with the collective bargain agreement for 2017-2020. Concerning the report, progress of implementing the NICA complex project and proposals for spending the special purpose funds allocated by the Russian Federation in accordance with the agreement between the government of the Russian Federation and Joint Institute on the construction and exploitation of the NICA complex, which was signed on June 2, 2016, was presented by Vladimir Kekelidze, director of Wexler Baldin Laboratory of Energy Physics, and by me. Committee of Planning Potentiary took note of the progress in implementing the project of the NICA complex in accordance with the 7-year plan for the development of a joint institute in next 7 years, and with the aforesaid agreement, and recognize the scientific and technological achievements in this project. It approved for the year 2018 the Joint Institute budget for the use of the special purpose funds of the Russian Federation, allocated in accordance with the agreement in the amount of 5,400 million rubles. It adopted the provisional volume of the Joint Institute budget for the use of the special purpose funds of the Russian Federation for the year 2019, with the total expenditure of 1,500 million rubles for the year 2020, with the total expenditure of 917 million rubles. It noted that in 2013-2015, prior to the signing of the agreement, work was performed on a number of objects of the basic configuration of the NICA complex in the amount of 2,800 million rubles using budgetary funds of Joint Institute and those of other countries. In view of the forthcoming discussion of the preliminary results and immediate plans for implementing the agreement, the meeting of the Supervisory Board of the NICA complex project, the Committee of Planning Potentiary stated that it fully guarantees implementation of Joint Institute obligations stipulated by the agreement. Concerning the report results of the meeting of the Finance Committee held on the 21st, 22nd November 2017, presented by Arsen Fedelidze, Plenipotentiary of Georgia, the Joint Institute, the committee approved the protocol of the meeting of the Finance Committee. It approved the rules of procedure of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries and the rules of the procedure of the Finance Committee of Joint Institute. It commissioned the Directorate to prepare a draft roadmap for the work on the regulation of the Joint Institute staff and forward it to the members of the working group under the chairman of Committee of Plenipotentiaries for JNR financial issues by 1st February 2018. So it was already done. Official meeting in Ukraine and in Uzbekistan. Concerning the information from Joint Institute delegations about the meeting at the Ministry of Education and Science of Ukraine and about the workshop at the Academy of Sciences of the Republic of Uzbekistan presented by Mikhail Itkis, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries recommended that the Joint Institute Directorate should continue work on the implementation of the mutually acceptable model of cooperation between Joint Institute and Ukraine. It recommended that note should be taken of the information of the negotiations of the Joint Institute representatives with high officials of the Republic of Uzbekistan on measures to restore the activities of the Republic of Uzbekistan in Joint Institute. Concerning the report, Joint Institute participation in the Russian targeted research program within the framework of international cooperation with institution of the People's Republic of China, presented by Hamlet Hojibagian, Deputy Director for Science of Wexler Bardeen Laboratory of Energy Physics, the committee expressed its consent to Joint Institute participation in the competition of the Ministry of Education and Science of the Russian Federation and in the following activities. First, it is development of linear superconducting accelerators for the NICA and HIAF accelerator complexes, research for the preparation of a technical proposal for 1 megajoule energy storage device made by high temperature superconductive material for the NICA project. Third, production of a pilot batch of modules for the electromagnetic calorimeter of the multipurpose detector at the NICA collider, and development of stochastic cooling for systems for the NICA and HIAF accelerator complexes. Concerning factory of super heavy elements, given in the report status of this factory by Sergei Dmitriev, the director of Fluor of Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions, the committee noted that phase one of construction of the factory of super heavy elements has entered in, its final stage. The civil construction work and installation of the DC 280 cyclotron are planned to be completed in late December 2017. The startup and adjustment work for the cyclotron and engineering system of the building in January-April 2018. The startup of the new gas filled recoil separator in June-July 2018. And the preparation and performance of first experiments in September-November 2018. The committee recommended the Joint Institute Directorate take all necessary measures to ensure the implementation of the schedule plan for the start-up and commissioning of the super heavy element factory. Concerning the report improvement of the procurement activities of Joint Institute presented by me, the Committee of Planning Potentialities approved the actions of the Directorate towards improving the procurement activities of Joint Institute and noted the importance of conducting effective procurement procedure taking into account the increased volumes of funding the Institute. Other issues. Concerning the report amendment proposed to the rules of procedure of the Joint Institute Scientific Council presented by Alexander Sorin, Chief Scientific Secretary, the committee allowed the endorsement of appointments of deputy directors of the Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics to be held at the 123rd session of the Scientific Council in February this year. It approved the following amendment to the current rules of procedure of the Scientific Council of Joint Institute. The announcement of a vacancy for the position of laboratory deputy director is made by the Scientific Council with subsequent endorsement of the appointment to this position at the session following the session which announced this vacancy. There are some congratulations. The Committee of Planning Potentiality congratulated academician Viktor Matveev, director of Joint Institute, on having been awarded the Order of the Russian Federation for merit to the Fatherland, third class, and the Order of Merit of the French Republic. And it also congratulated the committee congratulated academician Yuri Vanesian, scientific leader of the Florov Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions, on having been awarded the Order of the Russian Federation for merit to the Fatherland, second class. So thank you for the attention.
Thank you very much, Richard. Are there any questions for Richard? If not, okay. Thank you very much. We move now to the report on the realization of the Nucleotron NICA project by Anatoly Sidorin.
Good morning, dear MAC members and colleagues. I will present a report about progress in realization of the Nucleotron NICA project, and I will be concentrated on our general part of experimental work provided from the last PAC meeting. It is related to preparation of heavy ion run at the Nucleotron and preparation for baryonic matter at Nucleotron experiment. I will speak about our current plans for the Nucleotron run organization, and two last topics will be dedicated to the progress in the booster construction and development of the collider system. And preparations for the heavy ion runs was started in April of the last year. At the test bench was provided the works for optimization of the electron string formation inside the ion source, optimum for generation of argon and krypton ions, which is necessary for Nucleotron heavy ion runs. And from October, we started the run with the cryon source at the Nucleotron injection facility. In parallel, at the LU20, we provided the work related to installation of a buncher in the medium energy beam transport, which is necessary to improve intensity of the ion beam at the entrance of the Nucleotron. And from June to September was provided run at injector facility at Lutventi in order to tune this bunch cavity. In results, usage of the Buncher new element of the medium energy beam transport line permitted to increase the intensity of the carbon beam from the laser source up to about 1.5 times, but for heavy ions, for argon beam, without this Buncher, in my opinion, we have no possibility to provide good quality and good intensity of the argon beam at all. And usage of the Buncher permitted to increase intensity of the argon beam at the entrance of the nucleotron by as minimum by about 5 times. And during the run at the Lutventi, we obtained intensity of the beams required for nearest run listed in this table for nucleotron operation. Its most important point is number of elementary charges, and to the 20th of December we obtained about 3.3 × 10⁸ elementary charges of argon 16 plus and about 2.5 × 10⁸ elementary charges of krypton 26 plus. Why this number is very important? We have limited sensitivity of our standard diagnostic at the nucleotron, and to adjust acceleration of the beam, circulation and acceleration of the beam, we need to have as minimum 10⁸ elementary charges. In 20 of December, we stopped experiments for about 2 weeks in order to provide required modification of low energy beam transport. And last results, we increase intensity of the argon 16 plus ions by about 2 times. And now we are ready to provide tuning of the circulation and acceleration in the nucleotron with our standard diagnostic system. Concerning to preparation for baryonic matter at nucleotron experiment, maybe most it includes many different type of works, but maybe most important part of this work is development of power supply system. And for the moment, we are limited in regime of the nucleotron operation mainly by this system. We cannot provide long long time of the beam extraction due to limitation of the power supply system in the transport lines. This work presumes realization of new power supply system, presumes big amount of works. Most intellectual part of them is to create 35 high current and high precision power supplies and to create remote control system for operation with this power supply. We use time in the nucleotron run and between nucleotron runs to test different elements of future power supply system. First prototype of new type of power source which will be used in modernized power supply system was initially tested 1 year ago and was used in during two runs of the nucleotron. This source is provided by Moscow company LM Inverter, and this company is chosen as a general contractor for creation of main elements of new power supply system. Also, we provided work to improve diagnostic of the power supply system and a few new high precision current monitors was installed. We provided work to create a remote control system and test a few elements of new power supply system are constructed in our laboratory. And here you can see one of the sources of small power created in our laboratory. And also we test different elements of the future system. During coming run, we plan to put into operation new high power power supply unit dedicated to supply of large aperture magnet for baryonic matter at nucleotron, and relative stability of the current of the source is at the level of 10 to the minus 4, and this source also is constructed at M inverter company. About plans for the nucleotron run, I demonstrate you slide which I demonstrated last PAC meeting, and we plan to prolong, we ask to provide long nucleotron run starting from November and up to March with short pause for January holidays. And we plan to accelerate, to divide the run by two parts, to accelerate heavy ions and carbon ions during first part of the run. And second part of the run will be dedicated, can be dedicated to acceleration of light ions. We start cooling of the nucleotron in accordance with this plan, but even before completion of the cooling, we found technical problem at our cryogenic facility. Reason of this problem, which problem we had, will be explained in the talk by Dr. Hodzibagian. And the cooling of the nucleotron was postponed to fix this problem, and the run was prolonged at injection facility only, and results of this work I showed already. And for the moment, we're ready to start cooling, to prolong cooling, or to start again cooling of the nucleotron from 5 of February, and the run, we plan to prolong the run up to as minimum 23 of March, but it will depend on weather. And we have very small amount of time for experiments, and we need to concentrate only at first priority works, and this run will be provided only at creon ion source with carbon, argon, and maybe krypton ions, and we will realize works dedicated only to three experiments, short-range correlation, baryonic matter at nucleotron, and experiments in radiobiology. After completion of the run in April, we plan to start assembly of the booster, and first technological run of the booster is scheduled for the end of this year. What means technological run? After assembly of the booster, we need to demonstrate vacuum conditions inside the vacuum chamber. We need to provide cooling of the magnetic system, and we need to test power supply system of the booster. And this work, we hope, can be completed to the end of this year. To realize this plan, we provide preparation works for the booster construction, and in my report I have not so many time to present all works providing in this direction. I will point out only a few important parts. Mine power supply source for the booster will be constructed in June of this year. I will speak additionally about commissioning of the electron cooling system and status of manufacturing of the magnetic system, beam injection into booster, and beam transfer from booster to the nucleotron. And about electron cooling system commissioning, this system was mentioned as minimum 3 times during this morning, and it was transferred to Dubna in April of the 2017. To provide commissioning of the cooler, a big amount of work was provided in our institute, we prepared place for location of the cooling system, water cooling system, power supply system, high voltage system, vacuum system. This work was finished in December by first physical run at the reactor and cooling system. Here you can see some stages of this work after assembly of the central straight solenoid. We provided adjustment of the magnetic field, and accuracy of the magnetic field in this solenoid was achieved at the level of 10 to the minus 5. After completion of assembly and baking procedure, we obtained vacuum condition close to requirements from the booster vacuum system. And in December was provided first physical run with electron beam at this facility at electron energy of 2 keV. It corresponds to about ion injection energy into the booster. Electron current in stable operation without decrease of the vacuum pressure, without increase of the vacuum pressure, was obtained about 170 milliamperes at vacuum 3 × 10⁻⁹ Pascal. And as a result, we provide commissioning of new very good equipment for the booster, and it is first element which is already stay at its nominal position at the booster orbit. Status of manufacturing of the magnets for the booster. By now, 80% of the magnetic cryostat system of the booster is ready for installation into the nucleotron. Completely manufacturing all cryostats, dipole magnets, quadrupole lenses, and 32 yokes for corrector magnets. After completion of assembly of the magnets and quadrupole lenses, we need to provide test of the magnetic field, and 33 dipole magnets, it corresponds to about 80% of total number, was successfully passed from cryogenic and magnetic test and ready for installation in the booster. With magnetic test of quadrupole lens, the status is presented here, status for 23 of January. We need to provide 29 tests of the magnetic field, and magnetic field is measured at room temperature in so-called warm measurements. These measurements is necessary to provide quality, to prove quality of manufacturing and assembly of the elements. And cool test have a goal to measure displacement of the magnetic axis of the elements during cooling and influence of the iron saturation on the quality of the magnetic field. For the moment, we have poor statistics, but first results I can present. It is distribution of the magnetic lens over high order harmonics of the magnetic field, and you can see that big amount, almost total amount of the tested magnet inside the tolerances, and we have only two lenses outside. We have another problem with magnetic measurements and field quality, but we hope that we can fix all the problem and provide total amount of investigation to the moment of the start of the booster assembly. About beam injection into the booster from Hylock accelerator, the injection line is shown here, and elements of the injection chain. It includes a few quadrupole lenses, two dipole magnets, and debuncher. Also, to provide injection into the booster, this is straight section of the booster. Initially, we plan to use electrostatic septum and warm kicker for the moment, all magnets are ready. Magnets and debuncher are ready for installation in the transport channel. Manufacturing of electrostatic septum and warm injection kicker is almost ready to almost completed. Prototype of cold injection kicker, which is necessary to provide multi-turn injection or multi-turn injection. Manufacturing of this element will be started in April-May of this year. Concerning to beam transfer from booster to nucleotron, this work is provided in the frame of contract with Butker Institute in Novosibirsk. It includes extraction elements. It is complicated injection line with complicated geometry. It includes elements for extraction from the booster, elements of the magnetic system of the transport line, and also elements for injection into the nucleotron. For the moment, we have prototypes. Butker Institute is ready to start manufacturing of instruction Kika and SEPTA. Magnets, project of the magnets for this channel is prepared, and the magnets are under development. All another elements of the of this channel related to modification of the nucleotron nucleotron ring are under construction and under design in our laboratory, and commissioning of this transport line is scheduled for the end of the 2019. Relating to development of the collider system, most important part of the collider is magnetic cryomagnetic system, and serial production of the collider magnets was started at the end of the last year. For the moment, all bellows for magnet cryostat are ready, and we plan to complete this work to the moment of the collider assembly. RF system for basic configuration of the collider is under construction already at Butker Institute, and we hope to have in Dubna and to put into operation at the collider in 2020. RF system for project configuration is also under development at Butker Institute. Reactor and cooling system, purchase of the material for construction of the reactor and cooling system is already started in Butker Institute, and we hope to have reactor and cooling system in 2021. This system is out of the basic configuration. And in accordance with requirement suggestion by Mission Advisory Committee, group of specialists from Butker Institute start to participate in development of polarized mode of the collider operation. And a few words I will say about beam transfer from nucleotron to collider. Total length of this transport channels are about 350 meters. This transfer lines will be constructed by French firm Sigma Phi. For the moment, there is a project of all elements of the magnetic system, and we have prototypes of pulse injection system in the collider, which will be constructed in our institute. We hope to provide all this work, and commissioning of this line is scheduled for 2020, and in 2020 we hope to have first heavy ion beam in the collider and start commissioning of the collider with the ion beam. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Hans.
I appreciate very much this intensive work going on in the accelerator team here, and hope that it continues that way with the luck you need to have no accidents anymore. But one question I have, and that is, since 1 year we know that on the BMN side, the extraction of slow spill is coupled still to big fluctuations or microstructures in the beam. What did you do the last year to improve that for the new run? Was there any progress made?
Maybe I need to give some comments. First of all, we extract for baryonic matter at nucleotron at the moment beam with very poor intensity, about 10 to the 7, 10 to the 5, 10 to the 7 particles per spill, and spill duration is limited, as I said, by status of the power supply in transport line, and spill duration about up to 2 seconds, 2-3 seconds. And quantum statistical fluctuation is unavoidable in this situation. But in the frame of preparation to this run, we provide a few discussion with BIM baryonic matter at nucleotron team, and we will start. We include in the run schedule as minimum two shifts in order to provide common work for adjustment of slow extraction system. And in this work will be participate members from accelerator team and part of the detector team. And we hope to fix all problems and to provide as good as possible spill quality.
Any other question? I have a question. Last time when you presented the plans for the booster construction that is supposed to start pretty soon, there was some issue related to whether or not you have enough manpower for doing the construction as planned during the year of 2018. So my question is, do you have a well-detailed construction plan that ensures you that you have the resources to complete the job before the end of the year?
We provide a lot of works dedicated to preparations for booster construction. We have leader of this process. It is Artem Galimov, young specialist from our magnetic facility for assembly and test of the magnetic system. We have a plan for construction, and we develop technology of the construction. My main difficulty in our booster, and this difficulty was never solved before in Russia, our goal is to provide very good vacuum conditions. And assembly of the booster will be provided step by step, magnet by magnet. And for this procedure, we can use very big amount of people. And we are limited not in people, but in technology. And for the moment, we hope that our manpower is enough to complete booster construction to the end of this year.
Okay, thank you. Any other comment or question? Okay, so we thank Anatoly again. And we move to the report on the infrastructure developments, including the nucleotron, by Nikolai Agapov.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, dear colleagues. This is the title of my talk, a report on the infrastructure developments, including the nucleotron. Very understandable that the main goal of such developments is to meet all requirements of the future NICA accelerators and detectors. That's why I'm starting with these teachers. Main direction of the presentation are construction of buildings, development of liquid helium at liquid nitrogen plants, operation of the facility for assembling and testing of superconducting magnets, and modernization of electric systems. This slide shows the staple buildings we are going to construct. A collider building, a new compressor hall, and NICA Innovation Center. Let's start with the collider building. The total number of construction workers in different months of the last year shown by the diagram on top. The average is 130. To date, excavation, drainage, and piling works are almost finished. Foundation construction of the MPT and MPD-SPD buildings, including installation of electrical grounding, has been completed too. Concrete works of the collider western half rings has been executed, and construction of the building for electron cooling system of the collider is now deployed. In the diagram below, you can see 8 organizations are involved. They are the general contractor Joint Stock Company Strabag and 7 subconductors performing different types of works. Nowadays, main kind of activity is reinforced concrete works. These pictures show processes of reinforced concrete works. At the building of the electron cooling system, on the eastern half rings, a beam of channels of the western half rings, and reinforced concrete works at MPD. The next slide illustrates the status of concrete works at SPD. Totally more than 16,000 cubic meters of concrete has been already poured. Nevertheless, we observed that the construction of this building is going with some slight delays, but today it is not yet critical to realization of entire scheduled development of the NICA complex. As you already know, construction of the new Center for Innovative Developments has been planned. For the design of it, now we entered into contract with the Design Institute Arena. Before the contract, there were considered several concepts of external look of this building. This picture shows 2 examples of presented solutions. Start of the construction is planned for the end of this year. Next building project is the new compressor station. It will have an area of about 2,000 square meters and total electric power of motors of 9.6 megawatts. This building is of key importance to complete the cryogenic complex for the NICA. Now we entered into contract with company PSG from Czech Republic, and construction of the building started. Here you can see the timetable that attached to the contract. The end of the construction is expected in this year. I am very pleased that we finally started to build it, because all cryogenic equipment has very long been manufactured, delivered to the lab, and waits for installation of the places. This equipment is shown in figure. Nitrogen turbocompressors, IRCOM and Samsung, 2 helium screw compressors Cascade, 5 nitrogen receivers, nitrogen liquefier of 1.23 ton per hour, nitrogen gas bags, and container for 30 cubic meters of liquid nitrogen. Now, let's continue more concerning cryogenic system. If you remember, the NICA helium cryogenics will be based on liquid helium plant that was built earlier for the nucleotron. And our main development goal is to increase the total refrigerator capacity from 4 to 10 kilowatts at liquid helium temperature. Now, this working platform of existing liquid helium plant is visibly expanding. The additional production areas are intended to contain the new equipment, two gas holders, drying and air purification units, and liquid nitrogen recondenser. If you look at this, you can see the most important installations which will be constructed while updating the lab cryogenic system. In addition to the equipment inside of the new compressor station, this picture points helium liquefier with capacity of 1,000 liters per hour. It is already in operation. Four drying and air purification units. Two of them have been delivered and first one is already in operation. We are expecting the shipment of the last two units during the next month. 40 cubic meter liquid helium tank will be tested at our lab during the next April or May. Nitrogen recondensers of the booster and collider will be manufactured during this year. Manufacturing of satellite helium refrigerators of the booster and collider started. The shipment first of them is expected at the end of this year and other two during next year. In addition to the new equipment, we need to think about workability of existing cryogenic units that has been already operating for a long time at nucleotron. During last year, following planned works have been done. The new automation system for the skew helium compressor and high pressure helium compressor for injection into the receiver at our system. Besides this, two-stage piston helium compressor with capacity of 1,000 cubic meter per hour was assembled and put into operation. Instead of the old one, the second stage of screw compressor cascade are subjected to the major renovation of the factory in Kazan and put in operation. More large-scale works were planned for following summer to use the time of a long operation break of the new accelerator. I mean a complete replacement of the purification system of two refrigerators that operate for nucleotron. But last autumn, we had an unpleasant incident that delayed the timetable run of the accelerator. It led to necessity to replacement of the purification system as soon as possible. This situation will be analyzed by Deputy Director of our lab, Gamlet Georgievich Khachibegiyan, in the next report. Therefore, let me limit myself by only brief description works performed. The purification system for compressed helium flow at nucleotron refrigerators is very complicated. It consists of three steps. The first one operates at room temperature and removes water and oil vapors. The second deletes oxygen and nitrogen impurities and it operates at temperature 77 K. And last stage is intended to remove neon and hydrogen and operate at 24 Kelvin. During purification processes, compressed helium go through granulated zeolite and coal, which placed in cylindrical vessels under pressure of 2.5 megapascals. At each temperature level, the purification blocks are doubled. At the time when the first part in operation, the second one is generated. As a result of very intensive activity of the last months, all of these purification subsystems are now brand new. It will provide the future continuous operation of existing nucleotron refrigerators at the NICA complex. Let's turn now to the facility for assembling and cryogenic tests of the superconducting magnets for the NICA accelerators. As you already know, the facility was commissioned in full configuration in November 2016. Operation plan for the coming years included assembling and testing 88 dipole magnets, 166 magnets for the collider, and 175 quadrupole magnets for 600 synchrotron. Totally, it is more than 400 elements. By now, successfully passed cryogenic and magnetic tests and certified for installation in the booster 33 dipole magnets and 6 quadrupoles. For the collider, the creation and testing of prototypes of the magnets was completed in the last year, and serial production of the superconducting two-aperture magnets and cryostat has been started. The production of superconducting wires for magnets and bellows for cryostat is already finished. Of course, there was some difficulties because of not operation of cryogenic complex during 2 months. But I hope that in result of more intensive work, we will enter into the timetable. At some extent, this situation relieved by successfully exploiting of cooling towers for the existing compressor station, because today it comes possible to produce liquid helium during the Dubna River spring flood. Let's now talk about the electricity system. Next page illustrates the estimated power distribution of the main transformer station at the lab after starting operation of the NICA complex. Main user will be booster, collider, new compressor hall, computer cluster, channels of the building 205, facility for assembling and cryogenic tests of the superconducting magnets, and Dubna city user too. We understand that this distribution will be optimized several times more. Nevertheless, due to limits of the external lines, it will be not possible to exceed about 40 megawatts. The capacity of the present main transformer station is now completely used. For extra power for NICA, it was decided to replace the existing transformers by 2 more powerful ones. After that, the total possible load will be increased to the required value. The contract with the joint stock company Siemens Transformers will be completed during next month. Joint stock company Elprom finished now designing on the new main transformer station. At present, the project documentation is being accepted and approved by Energy Service of our institute. Submission of this documentation to formal examination will be done in March this year. Reconstruction of the main station is planned to be done in 2019. For NICA requirements, internal electric system of the lab is updated according to these programs of technical re-equipment. On this slide, you can see already reconstructed and commissioned 6 kilovolts electric substations. Substation 13, it is source of electric current of the nucleotron magnets and will be one of the two main centers of electricity of collider MPD and SPD. Substation 42 is providing power supply for test facility of superconducting magnets. And substation 11 will be used for electron cooling system of the booster. Three more substations are subject to reconstruction in the nearest future. The biggest one is substation 21 with capacity 14 megawatts. It provides power supply of the new and existing compressor stations. Now a contract is made for design work. Startup is planned for mid 2019. Here shown the distribution switchboard reconstructed last year. This was done for the most important buildings 205, 216, 217. So, I hope I had told you all the latest information concerning the infrastructure development. In conclusion, I want to remind you that the process of collider building can be observed live on the internet at the address given here. This photo was taken a week ago. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Hans?
Great progress there, but I have a question on the SPD building. I think there is not yet a design of the SPD detector because we haven't seen it here. So you have made some assumption what you need there for the SPD. And because there's a basement now reinstalled in order to get the NICA beam through, but somehow you have to make height assumption that they have enough height for the beam pipe, etc. So how is that, how did that go?
Yeah, maybe you want to postpone this question. There will be a presentation by the SPD, or you want, okay, go ahead.
Because it was urgent necessity to, during the design of the civil construction building, to put some information concerning SPD. By that time, we had no even conceptual design, what not yet completed. So we decided to do the, all the civil construction, just the mirror, the same as for just the clone of the MPD. All the infrastructure, all the sizes, everything is just done the same. So the SPD people have just additional constraint to fit the detector inside the same building as essentially.
Anyhow, we will hear more about the status report about the SPD later today, so you will be able to hear where we stand with that. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Luciano, please.
Yes, I'm also very impressed by the progress made in 2017. I have a question concerning the construction of the superconducting magnets for the collider. You've shown that the series production has started.
Yes, yes.
What are the plans for 2018? So, in terms of number of magnets that you plan to build.
I think that the all of the magnets for the collider will be done in the mid 2019.
And your microphone, Luciano.
Maybe better Gamlet Georgievich answer you because it's leader of this direction.
Okay, any other? Yes.
The production of the superconducting magnet for NICA collider was start in the end 2017. And we plan, it was start only dipole magnets. Now ready for serial production. The serial production of the quadrupole magnets we plan start in the middle of this year. And we plan complete serial production and cold testing of all NICA collider magnets in the second part of 2020. And begin the assembling the ring in the second part of 2020.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? Okay, thank you very much. Now? Or after? He says after. So now we have another presentation on the fourth stop of run 55 of the nucleotron that will be given by Hamlet Kochibagian.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The same of my talk is information about the fourth stop of the nucleotron run 55 and plans for 2018. The reasons of the fourth stop of the nucleotron run in November 2017 was the depletion of the resource of the helium purification unit from the oil and water impurities. The manufacturer of the refrigerator did not provide oil vapor monitoring in the helium stream after the purification unit. So it was impossible to determine when the unit's resource was spent. Oil vapor after passing the purification device enter in the heat exchanger and freeze on its walls. After power failure, the helium compressor stopped and the top part of the heat exchanger was warmed. The oil on the walls, on the upper part of the heat exchanger, melted, flowed down, accumulated, froze, and blocked the channels for the lower cold part of the heat exchanger. Continuation of the nucleotron operation without repairing its cryogenic system became impossible. The 55th run of the nucleotron was stopped on November 3rd last year. Laboratory of High Energy Physics developed and implemented a plan of the repair of the nucleotron cryogenic system. The helium purification unit that has spent the resource was replaced by a new one in December last year. The heat exchange equipment was washed from the oil with freon and then purified from freon and water by moving with air and gaseous helium. 18 such sorbers with contaminated charcoal were replaced with new ones in December 2017 and January this year. In the past weekend, on January 28th, the operating capacity of the nucleotron cryogenic system was successfully verified by trial liquefaction of helium. In a short time, it is planned to manufacture and install a device for measuring the amount of oil and water vapor in the helium stream after the purification unit in order to exclude such a breakdown in the future. Plans for 2018. The Nuclatron run is scheduled for February 5th this year. The liquid helium production for the facility for testing of the nickel superconducting magnets was restored in last week. During the repair of the cryogenics complex, the test of the magnets were carried out due to the purchase of liquid helium, which allowed to keep the readiness of the booster magnet for mounting in the tunnel in September this year. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for this report. Questions or comments?
Thank you for this explication of the breakdown. My understanding is that this machine operated for more than 20 years now. Is that true? So if it's more than 20 years, I wonder, is it a procedure which was missing in the operation of the machine, or indeed the fault of the manufacturer 25 years ago?
May I comment? These purification systems usually replaced after 10 years of exploitation because it saturates all the systems. And rust replacements happened in just 10 years ago. We knew that it's close to the saturation, but according to our evaluation, we had just a half an year plus on that. But because it was no system of monitor of heat, the failure happens even a little bit earlier. In any case, it was planned to replace all the system after this run, but we did in the middle.
That was just a bad lack of coincidence. But I have a related question. You have installed the new purification system. This new system does not have some monitoring equipment so that you know what is happening. So, because I heard that you want to design you want to do it yourself. So this does not come with the new machine.
Liquefaction and our refrigerator have not device for measuring the amount of oil and water contents in the stream of helium stream after purification unit. And now we buy this equipment and install in the cryogenics complex in short time, maybe 1 or 2 months. The lifetime of purification system is approximately 10 years.
Okay.
And near 10 years we have not such problem, but we installed the new equipment to monitoring the vapor in oil and water vapor in the helium stream in the future.
Yeah, I understood that from your presentation. I just was wondering how come that the manufacturer does not provide this monitoring system. That was just as a question, not because I would expect the manufacturer provide this kind of thing. Eh? Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay, well, thank you very much again. And we are now breaking for a coffee. So please be back 10 minutes after 11.